The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Joe Shane, Jennifer Gannon on television. Now, Jennifer, tell us why some viewers to RT's Fair City have been complaining about the show.
Yeah, well, firstly, they're in a real quandary. Like, they're trying their best to film during the pandemic, and the cast members are wearing masks in some of the scenes. And it's been really tricky for them to negotiate how to have the cast members mix and then also, you know, keep them safe. And I think this would be, you know, commended for that, like, this attempt, and it's a huge attempt. But viewers are really unhappy because they're complaining about this, the inclusion of masks in the soap. And I think this is where the schism in our telly watching has kind of come into play, because soaps, by their very nature, you're supposed to, you know, show real life. And this moment right now, this is our reality. But the problem is the suspension of disbelief is ruined, because it makes viewers more aware that, you know, these are not real family members. These are not lovers. These are, you know, actors who need to keep 2 meters apart and wear face coverings. So it's all very strange and artificial. And I guess that's, you know, it's getting in the way of people's enjoyment of the soap. But I think it's a really small price to pay to have it back on our screen so quickly. And, you know, it's causing problems for the actors themselves. They're trying to learn how to be natural.
Well, let me go to Joe on that, because there is an interesting point, isn't it? That, you know, if you can't see somebody's facial expression, that does create issues for the actors as well.
Yeah, it makes it very difficult for them, of course, and especially kind of in soap opera acting as well, because it necessarily has to be a bit more expressive, a bit more dramatic. So there's the producer of Fair City are saying that they've had to learn these new techniques. They've had to learn how to act with their eyes. They've had to learn how to act with their, you know, body shape, with their body language. They can't just, you know, put it all there in front of their, you know, on their face, because you can't see half of their face. So it's very difficult from a soap actor's point of view, from the producer's point of view. They should really be commended in a lot of ways for actually having to, you know, being able to get it on air, because it's a very, very difficult thing to do. It's a heavy workload at the best of times, doing, you know, tri-weekly soap. So managing to do it at all during the pandemic is quite an achievement.
Okay, Joe, tell us about a new documentary series, which is a really clever idea that T.G. Cahir have come up with, a historical documentary series based on love stories.
Yeah, this is Scale McGraw-Erin, and it's a good way of getting into history, and a kind of a popular way of getting into it. People are always on TV trying to find ways to get audiences interested in history, and they are interested in history, but you have to kind of find an angle. So what T.G. Cahir are doing is it's a series where they look at great love affairs from Irish history. So they've done Michael Collins and Kitty already, the first series last week, first episode, and now this week they're going to, on Wednesday at 8:30 on TG4, they're going to Robert Emmett and Sarah Curran, and they're using it really as a kind of a way into the story, to tell this about the relationship, and then that will obviously tell you more about Robert Emmett and the time he lives in, and the revolution in 1803. But also the interesting thing about it as well, they've got, you could call it a little bit of a gimmick, but it's an interesting one. They've taken the death mask, which was, you know, what people used to do with historical figures back in that era. When they died, they cast a wax mask of them in death, and they're using it to kind of create a proper 3D, almost laser designed portrait of Robert Emmett. So, you know, we know his face from the famous portraits and the drawings at the time, but it's actually going to be an interesting way of seeing what Robert Emmett actually really looked like. So I think they're great stories, and it's an interesting way of telling them. Like I said, it's a very accessible way into history.
Okay, Jennifer Gannon, tell us about this new phenomenon of programmes that didn't make it big on so-called linear television from the conventional channels, which suddenly become hits on Netflix.
Yeah, now this is really an interesting case, and it's mostly surrounding Back to Life, which was this dark comedy that appeared on BBC Two with little fanfare in 2019. And I don't want to say too much about the story because I think I'll spoil it for, you know, potential viewers, but just to say it's a really amazing dramedy about second chances and friendship and grief and our own true crime obsession. And it's hilarious and very affecting. And it garnered a lot of critical acclaim, but that didn't transfer into viewing figures. But it's ended up on Netflix, and it's been in their top 10 since the start of this month, with people discovering it and recommending it to each other. And the kind of old-fashioned word of mouth recommendation rather than the algorithm, which, you know, has made this very unconventional sitcom a real success story. And it's given it a whole new lease of life, which I think is just fascinating. So much so that, like, the show's creator and the star, she's the star as well, Daisy Haggard, she's been blown away by the response from these new viewers. And she said that due to this newfound popularity, there may be a chance that will get a second season. And I don't know if this is going to be through Netflix or the BBC, but either way, I think it's great news. I think these days there's far too much TV shows, like there's far too much TV to watch, and a lot of shows fall through the cracks or get lost, or they don't get the attention they deserve. And I think we've recently been criticising Netflix for being too trigger-happy and giving shows the chop before they've had their time. But in this instance, Netflix has ended up being the saviour of a show that might have disappeared without, you know, truly being appreciated. And I think that's an amazing thing. And I really cannot recommend, you know, Back to Life more. It's just a fantastic watch.
We have a clip, and hopefully this doesn't give too much away. This is Daisy Haggard's character, Miri, just out of prison, going to see a doctor.
Hi, my name's Mary Matheson. I haven't been here for ages, but I need to re-register.
Your last visit was September 2000.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
I'm very healthy.
Oh, I need an updated ID and proof of address.
I don't have anything at the moment.
Bank statements, home insurance.
I'm not on any of the bills.
So you don't pay bills?
Oh, no, it's my parents' house.
Wish my parents paid for me.
It's not like that.
Mobile bill?
I don't have a mobile.
How can you not have a mobile?
Look, I just need a doctor to look at my head.
Well, I just need a proof of residence.
I live there.
Yes, I know, with Mummy and Daddy who pay the bills, but I'm going to need a piece of paper that tells me that.
OK, so what if I've been away for a long time?
Where have you been?
Somewhere.
Where?
Does it matter? Look, I have an infected cut on my head and I need to see a doctor.
Go to A&E.
No hospitals, I want to come here.
Well, then you're going to have to start being a big grown-up girl that pays some bills now, aren't you? Next.
Interesting. Okay. What's the name of that again?
Back to Life.
Back to Life. Okay, we'll try that. No, this is an interesting one. I don't know when we're going to get to see it, but Joe, Danny Boyle is going to direct a new Sex Pistols miniseries.
Yeah, this is very exciting, actually. It's FX, the American channel FX, and the BBC. It's a co-production. And they're actually going to start shooting it. Planning to start shooting it in April, so it could be, you know, by the end of the year it might be ready. It's a 6-part series, and it's basically based on the memoir by Steve Jones, the guitarist out of Sex Pistols, and kind of the one guy who maybe was really knew his way around writing a song. It's based on his memoir, and it's basically going to tell, in over 6 episodes, the story of the Sex Pistols and punk, 1976-77. An amazing time in music, an amazing time in popular culture. Danny Boyle said some interesting things about it. He's saying that he's looking to, what he said, crash into the world of Downton Abbey and The Crown and just mess things up. And so you can tell where he's coming from. This is going to be very loud, in-your-face TV, just as probably the Sex Pistols were back in the day. They've got some interesting Frank Cottrell Boyce and Craig Pearce, who wrote 24 Hour Party People and Moulin Rouge, respectively. They're the scriptwriter, so it's a heavy-hitting scriptwriting team. Danny Boyle's involved. So you're looking at what could be a real TV event. And if you're into music, if you're into popular culture, if you know about the Sex Pistols but weren't around at the time, I think this is going to be a fascinating drama.
Okay. Picks of the week time. Jennifer, tell us about your choice. It's a documentary, yeah. I believe.
It is. It's a pretty controversial documentary, Night Stalker, Hunt for a Serial Killer. It's on Netflix now. People have been complaining that this is very graphic, and I've seen it, and it's definitely not for the faint-hearted. It's highly stylized, so the aesthetic of it is very 1980s hard-boiled detective thriller, but it's, you know, basically it's a 4-part true crime series that delves into the case of the serial killer Richard Ramirez. He terrorized the streets of LA and San Francisco in 1984 to about 1985, and he was known as the Night Stalker because of his tendency to prowl around neighborhoods for victims late at night. And he really just had these crazed methods and, you know, attacked various individuals, and it didn't seem to follow any pattern. So the problem for a lot of people, I think, is the fact that there's a lot of crime scene photos used and mock-ups of the crime scene. So it is, you know, extremely graphic. So it will just warn people, if they're not into that kind of thing, just to give it a swerve. But for me, it really, like, delves into the kind of how the detectives piece the case together, even though the attacks were so random. And that's very interesting to me.
Let's hear a trailer for the show.
There was no pattern. Anyone could be a victim. He went after old people, young people,
men, women.
It's unheard of. We've never encountered anybody like that in criminal history.
Everybody was talking about it.
I'm scared. I think everybody else is scared.
It's a cruel.
Pressure was on to stop the madman that was doing all this.
So we start trying to piece all this puzzle together.
We were in for a roller coaster ride.
It's the only time in my entire life that I slept with a gun.
There's pentagrams on walls.
It just keeps getting creepier.
And he waited until he saw the fear in her eyes, then he shot her.
What causes a person to do what he does?
I said, I won't scream. I swear upon God. And he said, swear upon Satan.
You could sense it. There's evil in that man.
It's a cruel, cruel summer.
Night Stalker on Netflix. Okay, let's hear the clip from a program that's picked by Joe as his pick of the week, which is on BBC Four tonight at 9 o'clock. Let's hear it.
Look up here, I'm in heaven. I've got scars that can't be seen. Everybody knows me now.
A man on top of his game.
He offered an alternative to people for generations to come.
I have a certain niche that I work in. A lot of it tends to be about alienation, being on the outside of things. So that tends to be where I feel more comfortable as a writer.
He was fighting death, and he wanted to continue and to continue.
Always go a little further into the water than you feel you're capable of being in. And when you don't feel that your feet are quite touching the bottom, you're just about in the right place to do something exciting.
David Bowie. 5 years after his death, what is this program, Joe?
It's called The Last 5 Years. And his anniversary was this week. And again, there was a lot of outpouring of nostalgia, of memories of a great, great figure in popular music. This is The Last 5 Years on BBC Four tonight at 9 p.m. Now, if you're into music, you know BBC Four on Friday nights. If you like the 70s, 80s, it's a great place to be for music. But this is an intimate portrait of him over the last 5 years of his life. And it looks at his last two albums, The Next Day and Black Star. And there's Unseen Archive, there is interviews, there is people talking about people who worked with him at the time. And I think it's going to be a fascinating look at an amazing artist. He knew he was coming to the end. A lot of people didn't. Even people close to him didn't know he was coming to the end. And he had this great creative rush towards the end. So this is looking at Bowie, looking at his life, looking at his work. And I think if you're into music at all, I think you're going to find it fascinating.
Looking forward to that. 9 o'clock tonight, BBC 4. Joe O'Shea and Jennifer Gannon, thank you. And Joe and Jennifer are going to move to Monday night's show from next week. So when you want to hear television on The Last Word, each week it is going to be from next Monday, every Monday.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.